Hello, lovers. Go to entambopleasurables.com for your slippery needs and get 20% off with the WILD20 promo code. You'll thank me later. Running Wild with Christine, sex, success, and other slippery rabbit holes. Welcome to episode 125 with Dallas Barnes from Rhea Health. Hi, Dallas.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going so well. I'm recording this podcast from vacation, so I cannot be any better. How about you?
I love that. I'm quite jealous, but no, I'm doing well. It's early Monday morning here. Having a little bit of coffee. Yeah, feeling good. Feeling ready for the week, actually.
Good. Well, hopefully we'll start it in not too much of a Monday-ish type way.
So far, so good.
Yeah, hopefully this conversation brings us up and not just down, because there's a lot of down things going on at the moment that I'm sort of just putting blinders on. So to the people listening, Rhea Health is, how would you describe it?
Rhea Health is a digital platform for personalized contraceptive counseling. So we really help people with ovaries navigate the entire birth control journey, everything from finding the best birth control option for you and your body, as well as access to those methods and that follow-up support. So helping individuals track and monitor any side effects, symptoms, and really their overall experience with those options, all the while providing personalized tools, resources, information, and support so that they can feel confident and comfortable with their birth control journey.
I mean, it's anyone with ovaries who's tried to control birth is very familiar with the struggle of finding the right tool and method and accessing information that is more than just, you know, like your family doctor brushing you off and just saying, don't have babies. Here's the solution without any
further. Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, that was my experience. That was many people's experience that I know. And it's insane. It's ridiculous. And I was sick and tired of it and had my own issues with the problem and really struggled. And then decided, you know, okay, even if I can improve this process, like incrementally, we can change lives.
Absolutely. So let's go into your journey and what led you here. Firstly, where did you grow up?
I grew up in London, Ontario, well, actually just outside of London, Ontario, in a rural little community out in the middle of nowhere. I'm actually back there right now, just hanging out with my parents on the farm. Grew up here, and then I moved to Vancouver, actually, for about 7 years. I was living there. I did my undergrad there, spent a couple of extra years hanging out. And then the pandemic happened and I was, you know, living in my apartment, no balcony, in quarantine. And my parents were living by themselves out on the farm. And I was like, you know what, I'll go home for a bit and hang out with mom and dad and, you know, quarantine there, get some extra space. And I just never left. And here we are. But it's very nice. It's been really, really great to, you know, get grounded in nature and in farm life and in just family life again. I was, you know, kind of feeling homesick on that front. So it's been lovely.
Yeah. I think Vancouver, everyone's touting the nature, but also like, it's still a city. Like you still feel very much like a sardine at times.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And you know what? I do miss like the mountains, being able to go skiing one weekend and the ocean's right there. So then you can go surfing the next weekend. But I do have chickens and cats and dogs and they just are loving being back on the farm. It's been really nice.
That's amazing. So in this small town, what was, this is like my favorite question for intro. I love to ask about how the awkward years were for you. Cause I feel like we skip over, we're like, oh, children was so cute. And then we're like, oh, what happens after college? But that middle phase of being an awkward teenager is like, kind of the big breaking point of like what you're going to turn out to be. So what was your sort of middle school, high school era of your life like?
Yeah, that's so funny. What a great question. Honestly, I do feel pretty blessed in the sense that like I had so much fun. I had a great time in preschool, great time in elementary school, great time in high school. And I think largely because I was super involved all throughout elementary school and high school. I was on student council. I led Youth for Social Justice Club. I led the GSA, which is Gay Straight Alliance Club. Was United Way ambassador, led service trips to the Dominican Republic. I was like anything and everything that I can do to just like, I don't know, get involved, do something, bring people together all around one common goal and purpose and just, you know, organize stuff, basically. I was like all for it. And I loved it. And I think that like, that's honestly why I went into business. So I have a Bachelor of Commerce from the Sauter School of Business. And, you know, in high school, I like wasn't really interested much in science or math or whatever. And my parents were like, well, you could run a business. You run lots of clubs. Like, you know, you could learn more about that. And I'm like, okay. I kind of thought always that I would maybe start my own company at some point in my career. I never thought it would be so early on. But yeah. Here we are. And yeah, having a great time so far. I mean, it's really fucking hard a lot of the time. Every day I'm like crying 1 hour and then super happy the next hour. Yeah, as cliche as it is, that like entrepreneurial roller coaster, but I wouldn't change it for anything. Actually, just last week on Friday, we had our 2-year birthday for Raya Health. And it was just such a nice opportunity to kind of sit and reflect on all the things that we've accomplished. And we don't do that enough, especially as, you know, female founders or other marginalized entrepreneurs. It's we're so like, okay, you know, are comparing ourselves constantly to, you know, this very masculine approach to business, and we can get caught up in like, oh, that sucked. Okay, what's next? And never really like sit with like, okay, you know, I made it through the week. I got through my inbox today. And I think those small wins are important. So it was nice to have that dedicated space to reflect and celebrate with the team.
Absolutely. I mean, that's not a small feat. 2 years of your first business being alive, that's actually a huge accomplishment. Like a lot of people don't make it to that birthday on their first enterprise. Like I'm a daughter of two entrepreneurs. So I very much was like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to have someone else be my boss. I'm going to close up shop and go home and not think about things.
Yeah, honestly.
But I mean, this is the thing with, you know, owning your own business, if it is something that is your life, regardless of whether it's your job or not, then that is the best case scenario. You know what I mean? tell me, I can totally relate to being a high school, like go-getter. That was also me. How was your love/beginning of sex life at that period in life, since we are talking about sexual wellness today?
Yeah. And it's so funny. I've been reflecting on this a little bit recently. I mean, you know, I'm in this space. So I often start my story like when I first started being sexually active, because that's when I first went on birth control, and like explaining, you know, how that was very, you know, intimidating, uncomfortable conversation going to my family doctor, and who also saw my dad and was this old white male who like, anyway, that was a whole thing in itself. But I've been, you know, exploring more and coming into more of my sexuality. And it's been interesting reflecting back. And I remember this like very distinct point. I was like 15. And my mom had heard rumors, and several years ago now, and also grew up in a very small town, conservative community.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there were no openly gay people in my community whatsoever. I think in all of my 4 years at my country high school, there was one Black person, just one. And so that just kind of paints the picture. I remember being 15 and my mom had heard rumors that I was making out with girls, which was true. I was. And she came to me in my room one day and she's like, and I could tell she was so uncomfortable. I'm like, what is wrong with her? And she's like, I have to talk to you about something. I have to talk to you about something. I just have to ask. I'm like, what? She's like, are you a lesbian? Sorry.
The description here, her phone dropped when she said that. So it was appropriate. Yeah.
Dramatic. It was like dramatic, like, and we're done. And it's over. Yeah. And I was like mortified, you know, like, so, and just like her coming at me, and she, like, I don't blame my mom for how she approached that conversation at all. Like, it's just, you know, the times and where we grew up, and she was just not sure how to, yeah, just total context. But I also didn't know, I didn't have any education, and I'm just like, oh my God, no, like, what? Absolutely not. And I was like, I felt shamed, I felt uncomfortable, I just, like, you know, was totally, yeah, just was unsure. And so, like, that was the end of it. Never talked about it since. But now it's funny, like, I identify as bisexual. And I think that was, like, very formative and, like, me, you know, maybe not exploring that sooner, yeah, and identifying that way sooner. And I think, you know, that's my experience, but it can be similar to other people's experience, just in the context that we're growing up. Since then, you know, parents very, very open, very loving. And I know that is also not everybody else's experience, but it's been interesting. So then thereafter, I started a relationship when I was like 16, 17, and started becoming sexually active. So with somebody who had a penis, so it was like, okay, you know, birth control, that's something that people do. There's condoms in the pill. Let's go get the pill. Like, knew nothing else.
Yeah,
absolutely nothing. We're never taught these things in school. So I booked an appointment with my family doctor. And actually my mom knew about this. She's relatively open despite that first story. And so, yeah, went into that visit, and I just, like, you know, wanted to get in and out of there as quickly as possible. Did not, I just wanted to get the pill, and, you know, it was kind of tossed at me so willy-nilly, if you will, that I don't even remember the brand name. I don't even remember the option that I was using. And however, I do remember going home and very shortly after just feeling like off and kind of uncomfortable. And I'd never felt just a feeling of like unease in my body before up until that point. And it was something that, like, I couldn't quite put my finger on. And it's interesting now. So one of my favorite researchers and scientists in the space, her name is Dr. Sarah Hill. She's out of Texas, and she's written books on this, but she's really dedicated her life to birth control and researching it. And she's now doing more studies on just mysterious symptoms with birth control, and that hormonal birth control specifically. Yeah. And how, you know, we can start feeling a little bit different in our bodies and feel sick or just feel off. And we go to the doctor and there's nothing that we can really, like, put our finger on, but we just know as experts of our own body that something is different, something's off. And I remember starting to feel that way. And then that began my experience trying different birth control methods and experiencing all different types of side effects. And I think I've tried about 6 different birth control options, that being a combination of hormonal and non-hormonal, all of which making me feel some type of way. One method in particular, you know, my body just reacted so adversely to that I was admitted to the hospital. I started developing chronic ovarian cysts that were debilitating. I had chronic UTIs, bacterial vaginal infections, and just lived in like constant pain, constant bleeding, just constant discomfort. And I was like, this is insane. This is ridiculous. Yeah. Here I am trying to be proactive about my health, and it's like totally biting me in the butt. I'm feeling very dismissed by healthcare professionals. Like, I'm not getting the answers that I need, that I want. Yeah. Everyone's like, it's not your birth control. Don't worry. Some physicians agree that it probably was my birth control. And they're like, it'll subside. You know, you're just in the adjustment phase, which I understand. There is that adjustment period of trying a new method, just the same as there's an adjustment period for a new diet or, you know, a new workout program. Yeah, there is that adjustment period, but only so much. You know, I think that if something is interfering with your daily life and making you feel uncomfortable, it's not worth it. It's talking about, you know, what boundaries are you going to put in place for yourself, for your own personal health and well-being? And it's only you who can identify that.
Yeah.
Shameless plug. I told you I would do this. Raya Health actually help individuals outline those boundaries when it comes to birth control and what to do if a method crosses a boundary, and how to monitor and track those boundaries and have these markers with yourself so that you can really determine on a personalized and intimate level, you know, is this option right for me or not? Is this a good fit? How does this sit with me and my body and what I want out of using a method? And that is so, so powerful. It's something we are not taught. It's something that physicians are not taught largely. And I think that is a huge missing piece of the current contraceptive counseling process that people go through, for not having these proper conversations up front. The right questions are not being asked. And that's when we get into, oh, try this one. Oh, okay, that didn't work. Try this one, try that. And it's so frustrating. And the system so far has been failing people with ovaries. And, you know, we're here to change that, change the status quo, and put the individual at the forefront of this decision-making process.
It's so needed. It's so, so, so needed. And like, I think, you know, if you're listening to this and you think like this would have been useful when I was 16, it is useful when you're 32. I am still like dealing with figuring out what is working for me, what isn't, what has worked for a long time and then it doesn't work anymore. Like that also,
yeah.
Like your body changes over time and therefore your boundaries also change over time. Like I just took out my IUD before the summer. And like you're 32, you're in a, you know, straight seeming relationship from the outside, and they're like, ooh, IUD out. You're like, no, I was in chronic pain. Like, this is what, I'm not preparing for some grand life change. Like, this is still a mystery, even through the ages, even if something worked for a long time for you, it might not. Mm-hmm. And like I said, like, things were thrown at us. Like, I got on the pill when I was 15. Same thing. I started being sexually active. My mother was like, you are taking the pill. This is what you're doing right now. We're not having babies right now. You're just like, okay, cool. Yeah, this makes me feel good. And then not at all paying attention to what else it might do to you. And then waking up at 20 and then someone in the health system being like, you've never been off hormones ever in like, you know, pretty much 15 years. You're like, no. They're like, yeah, it's not good. You're like, wish someone would have told me. Like at some point, wish someone would have fucking told me. I would have paid attention. But yeah, no. No information, no content.
Yeah, totally. There's no information. And honestly, I think, you know, a large part of that is this space, women's health, marginalized health in general across the board is underfunded, mm-hmm. underappreciated, you know, under-researched. And that contributes to this lack of information. So, you know, we can blame physicians in the health and healthcare practitioners, you know, all day long if we want to, but really they are also probably doing the best that they can with the information that they have. And it's, we might go to our doctor, you know, explaining a symptom or an experience that we have had, and it's completely valid, but they don't have the studies and the statistics to validate what we're feeling in a clinical way or a medical context. And so that also is defeating as a patient to not hear your experience reflected in your doctor and your medical expert being like, of course, you know, that's that happens, and then this is what we do. And, you know, that's when we often get like, oh, you know, I don't really know. It's probably fine. And you're like, what the fuck? I'm like bleeding every day, nonstop. Like, and I think,
yeah,
this is, you know, my own personal call now out to researchers and funders. There is so much work here that needs to be done. I have tons of ideas. Any master's students, PhD students out there, let me know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all need to be working towards this common goal. And that's when change really can happen. I mean, we are just tackling it from a place that makes sense for me, and for our team, but there's so many other cross sections and where people can weigh in and do their part and make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I think that the research itself, and like, you know, you hear that constantly in like women's health and marginalized health of like, we don't have enough information. This was always research for male bodies and by male bodies, for male bodies, through male bodies, you know. And I think with everything that's politically happening in the States and, you know, in some other countries around the world as well, like reproductive health and reproductive justice is totally at a crisis point. And like, if we're gonna be stuck in some very demoralizing and depressing debates about whether or not you agree with the concept of abortion, whether or not you're able to have one or not, then we really need to hurry the fuck up and improve the methods that, you know, prevent us from getting to that point, you know, especially for people who might live in places that don't have any access to further reproductive health. And we always talk about it, which is why I like what you plugged actually, Rorea. It's like, we always talk about it as like access to birth control, but we don't actually talk about like the difference in what that access like and what that information looks like and how some solutions are great from some people and will not work at all for other people. And like, if we don't start focusing on that, then we're missing the point entirely, I think, personally.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, I get the question a lot, you know, how do I know if my birth control is working for me or not? And I think at its core, what birth control was created to do, and if we're talking about in a, you know, a medically working context, if birth control is doing what it's doing, it's preventing pregnancy.
Yeah.
And the side effects thereafter are kind of separate from that purpose if it's working for you. So if it's preventing pregnancy in whatever shape and form that option is meant to, then, you know, technically it's working for you. But there are all of these other pieces to the puzzle, and there's so many options that we have now. We need more, but we do have a somewhat luxury of choice. That, of course, is also dependent on where you are and what kind of access you have to these methods. But largely, you know, we can get a pretty good match for everybody. And that then takes into consideration how your body is responding to these different methods, to these different combinations of hormones or materials that the option is using. And I think that that piece certainly is also left out. And I think, you know, when talking about the US and then access to reproductive health, it's like, if we do spend more time up front finding an option that fits the best for what we're looking for and for our body, people are then more likely to continue to use that option and use that option properly. And I think that's the solution, really. Instead of, you know, me throwing a method at you and you then feeling some type of way and you're not sure what to do about it, it's much more likely that you're going to, you know, miss a pill, or you're going to use that option incorrectly, or really stop using that method altogether. And that then thereby increases, you know, risk for STIs, risk for an unwanted pregnancy, risk for whatever you might be using the method for. And just having these proper conversations up front and using a method that we feel confident and comfortable in, that can be a game changer. And unfortunately, that time and that dedication is not always taken up front. And again, there in this conversation, so many barriers and barriers to access to options, information, support, all of that comes into play. We're trying to address that. There's a lot there. But I think that it should be mentioned for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think the most helpful conversations I've had around this topic was not with professionals, was with other people with ovaries who were going through their journey of figuring it out and being like, someone once told me this, someone once told me that, and then sort of reckoning with this mishmash of information and trying to make sense of it. You know, like, yeah, we all have degrees, but not in science, like in my group of friends, you know, so cool, we can research, but we probably don't have the tools to do that correctly. But going back to sort of the conversations around what happens if you do have an unwanted pregnancy, I've had more conversations with people around me talking about how many abortions they've had in their lives, and more than the majority of my friends have had abortions. But what I find lacking in that conversation as well is like, why did we get to that point? It is because our birth control did not work for us, did not work in us trusting it, in us feeling good in our bodies, in us keeping our libidos, in us whatever other issues we might have. And therefore, yeah, we do end up, you know, and yes, sometimes you do have a pregnancy and it still happens, but a lot of times it's because we give up.
Mm-hmm.
Like from my experience of, you know, just around my little tiny circle in the universe, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And I think that piece isn't shared often enough.
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Like I'm lucky enough, well, no, I think it's also a product of the podcast and other things, that I'm able in conversations with randos to be like, really not liking my ID right now. You know, it's not
for
me to say that, but there are a lot of people who cannot broach this conversation in any
form
because of the lack of information, because of the social and moral surroundings that they find themselves in. And like we both shared, it's even more uncomfortable to share it in your doctor's office, depending who your doctor is. And so, you know, we say there's an app for everything in 2022, but like this app was fucking needed, like really, really fucking needed.
Yeah, and you bring up a really great point. It's like a lot of our members and people in our community are finding solace really in the fact that it is more discreet because it's digital. You know, people are coming to this online community to ask questions, learn about their body, get information that's relevant and specific to their own situation in a way that feels safe for them. You know, we are coming from an unbiased perspective. We utilize smart technologies, but also we have been very picky in the people that we get to build and develop these products and come up with the methodology and collaborate on the back end really, and on our system and on our process. And I think in having a spot for people to go, you know, of course, again, the access to even just Wi-Fi or data across the board in Canada, is varying, and I'm cognizant of that. But you know, we are making this information more accessible for people in a way that fits them and meets them where they're at. And that's something that I'm super, super proud of. And again, it can be life-changing for people and help people find an option that they really like, and beyond. You know, there's additional support that we offer and additional information other than just this option would be good for you. And that is really the bulk of it, or the piece that goes way beyond anything that the current process is providing.
What was that life-changing moment for you?
Honestly, I think, you know, I was using a method in one of the cysts that it caused. I ended up in the hospital, and I remember lying there, my boyfriend's there with me at the time, and I'm like, this is fucked. And he's like, yeah, I know, this sucks, you know, are you okay? And I'm like, no, like, this is fucked, this whole entire thing. And I think that was like a pretty big wake-up call for me. And so that is when I decided I stopped using that method, and I started doing all of my own research. I spent months looking through scholarly journals and like clinical trials and just, you know, holistic medicine, trying to understand birth control, hormonal and non-hormonal, and the female body, and how those two work well together, why they weren't working well for me. And through that, I ended up finding a birth control option that like I thought could work well. And I was like, went to my doctor, asked for it, got the prescription pretty easily as that. And that was one of the best methods that I have ever used. That experience was like so life-changing. I was like, wow, you know, like,
yeah,
I really put my foot down, you know, through this entire process. I was like, really was my own health advocate and was able to learn and make this decision for myself, for my body, what I thought could work well based on what I've learned. And it worked, you know, it and proved to be a good solution for me. And I just felt so proud and confident. And then I started sharing little tidbits with my friends. I'm like, oh, you're thinking about this option. Well, you know, maybe ask yourself these questions, or did you think about this? And they're like, oh, never thought of that. And people were like, this is so helpful. And so then I made a spreadsheet and I like sent that out. And then it kind of grew from there. And we now have an 11-person team globally. We are launching an app and just celebrated our 2-year birthday. So that is really where it all began. But I think sitting in on that hospital bed being like, what the fuck? Like, is this really my life? And, you know, my boyfriend's trying to be as supportive as he can. And here I am like, you're
up, you.
Yeah, exactly. I think that really was a very pivotal moment in my journey and in what I'm doing now.
Yeah, and I think that's huge. And I, you know, I'm laughing at the response of your boyfriend, but I think that's the response we're getting a lot from people without ovaries, is that they have no idea the shit we go through on a daily basis. Like, mm-hmm. Without birth control, it's already a fucking disaster. But then adding all of those options in, and having grown up in a society that has quite literally taught you not to listen to your body and to look this way and to eat this way and to not question the method, it's mm-hmm. a mind fuck and a minefield to have to go through life and just try and feel okay about how you physically feel and or look. That it's like, the process of having to be on a hospital bed to draw a boundary is just like, hey, yeah, guys, this is the shit we're dealing with. And it's not, you know, 1% of the population. It's like all of us who, you know, have periods. It's like completely crazy. And yeah, like, I think, you know, we talk a lot, at least I talk a lot on my podcast about how the advantage of being in a marginalized gender is that you do have this sort of like ingrained or sort of socially induced, we talk amongst ourselves more about the shit because nobody else talks about it. But that's like a survival technique. It's not actually like a positive thing. Like, we need more information. We just need more information. So to echo your request of the like research community, it's like, this is not okay anymore. Like, this is fucked.
Help, we're 2022.
Like, just get it together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get it together. But yeah, just talking about access earlier, I'm like, a month ago, I'm in Serbia going like, oh shit, I forgot to bring my new rings. This is my temporary solution to, you know, taking my ID out. And they're like, we don't have that here. I was like, cool, cool.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, well, Yes. Okay. Cool.
We are, Wild Wild West out here.
Not a whole I was planning to do this summer while traveling, but yay, here we go.
Oh my God. Yeah, so true. Actually, we had a blog writer of ours. She did a whole thing on access to birth control internationally. She is Canadian, grew up in Canada, but has been traveling the world for the past, I don't know, 3-4 years, and just how she has navigated basically the trial and error process of trying to find a method, but doing that moving around countries and living in different countries. Super fascinating read. I love that she shared her story with us. Check it out. But she was like, it was interesting just the different types of care that you receive, also the language barrier and the different options that were available, like going in similar to you, just wanting to want one specific method, and they're like, oh, we don't have that. And you're like, okay, I guess we'll go back to the menu, like.
But it's cool. And like, you know what blew my mind is that I lived in Serbia for a while, and I was like, it's so nice that you actually don't need a prescription to pick up birth control. You can just buy birth control. Mm-hmm. But that's a double-edged sword, because then people are just buying whatever. And, you know, she's like, so what else would you need? And I'm like, nothing. That's the one I needed. Like, I'm not changing my mind on this.
That's the one I needed. Yeah. Oh my God.
Oh, like, fuck. Okay. Well, I guess I was like happy that I didn't need to go pay an international doctor fee to get a prescription, and then I couldn't get it anyway. So I was like, see, okay. So PSA, do your research about this before you're going to go traveling.
That's true. Yeah. It's so important, and something that like, yeah, you don't really think about, or if you think you're going to be away for a while, like bring some extra packs or.
And don't forget them in your fridge at home. You know, not what I did.
Yeah. Oh, too funny.
So you said you're launching relaunching your product September 1st with a new mobile app. Where is it going to be available?
It will first just be available in Canada. We're currently just operational in Canada. We are creating a roadmap to figure out what it will really take for us to move south of the border. I'm sure you can imagine everything that has been going on in the US in terms of reproductive rights and access to services has certainly made us evaluate that roadmap a little bit
more intensely.
Well, with more urgency. Yeah. But I'm also trying to be mindful and cognizant of the fact that people are being very trigger happy right now. Well, now companies are providing money and resources for individuals to go for travel to access abortions. And, you know, I think that's great. That's awesome. But those are the companies that are also not providing childcare or, proper maternity leave or other healthcare coverage. And, you know, it takes something like this for them to just, it looks more like a PR stunt than anything else. But, you know, good nonetheless. Of course, that's what I want the companies to do, of course. So don't not do it. But, you know.
Also.
Yeah, do everything else as well. So, you know, I am trying to be mindful of how we do enter the US market. So I understand you do have some American listeners, so stay tuned, folks. we will be coming your way eventually. And so still just operational in Canada right now, but we have a current web-based version. So individuals are able to access our service right now through the Raya Health website, but we'll be launching our mobile app that will be more interactive, look prettier, in my opinion, and really just be that one-stop shop for everything personalized birth control information, support, and access. So super excited for that to come. Our tech team has been working so, so hard in getting that up and running. Would love to hear any feedback, thoughts once it does come out from the community. It's something that we will always be constantly iterating on, and taking a human-centered design approach is one of our pillars, something that we think about on a daily basis. The current system has not been built for the people that are using it. And that's obviously a huge reason to the problem and why we exist. And so by really bringing those people into the conversation from all different types of backgrounds, experiences, and communities, we're then able to build for them and build with them and build solutions that make sense and actually solve problems and in ways that are iterative and innovative and continue to grow as these populations continue to learn and adapt. It's something that I'm really excited about and really proud that we've implemented into our process. So anyway, long-winded request for feedback and thoughts. Where our DMs are always open. So yeah.
That's super exciting. What are you most excited about when it comes to, you said there was like a little bit of a well-welcomed introspective time. Like what were you most excited about and are you most excited about next? But not like this is what we need to do, but like for yourself in terms of your accomplishment and what makes you feel, you know, giggles in the belly.
I think just with having, we'll continue to have the web-based version. And with this mobile app, I think it opens us up to a lot of opportunities for scaling. And in that allows us to serve more people and meet more people and create more impact in a way that, you know, is faster. I think by then having that choice, you know, somebody might not have a phone, but they could go on their library computer or the computer at the health center. Or, you know, it's more safe for them to use their phone, you know, when they're on the bus, for instance, rather than when they're at home. I think just that access piece and being able to meet people where they're at is something that like is so motivating to me and something that really, really excites me and yeah, tickles me.
That's amazing. Okay, so we're coming to a wrap-up point. This is my final question for all of my podcast guests, so feel free to answer this as randomly as you'd like. What's a thing in your life that if you knew sooner, or if someone taught you, or if like it was somehow ingrained in the system or in the knowledge, would have changed everything for you for the better? Take your time.
Yeah, so much. Well, I feel like since we've been talking so much about what I'm doing and, you know, birth control and contraceptives, the first thing that does come to my mind is like, your experience is valid.
Yeah.
Even if nobody else is saying it, what you're going through is valid and pay attention to that. And there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of power in understanding your experience and why you're feeling that way for future decisions and for finding solutions and for living your life in a thriving way. Yeah. That was something that like I had just sort of figured out and still figuring out and living in my daily life. I think that's, you know, the relevant response that I would have to this conversation.
Your experience is valid is a great parting message, because I mean I talk about imposter syndrome like at least 6 times per episode, but it's a huge piece to, you know, just existing in this world, especially as a marginalized gender, of just being like, okay, what you feel is what you feel. It is real. That is what you're going through.
And it's okay.
And it's okay. And, you know, you will find, maybe more hardly than you need to, a solution to it eventually. But like, you're not alone in this feeling. And even if you are, you're not alone in feeling alone. So there's that.
True.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming to chat with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you giving the space for me to just like ramble on about what I'm passionate about. It's something that like I feel like is unique to my role and what I do, and it's kind of a fun little added benefit.
Thank you. This is what I make this for. You know, specific interviews are good for some reason, but sometimes we just need to remember that we're all humans and that we all do things hopefully from like a real perspective, and that's why I choose the people that I choose. Thank you to Lisa on your team for putting us in touch.
Yes, shout out to Lisa. She's fantastic.
And is there anything else that our listeners need to know other than to stay tuned in Canada on September 1st for the new app and to check out the blog that we mentioned and Dr. Sarah Hill, I'll put this in the description. Anything else we forgot?
Yeah. Well, feel free to reach out, join our community. We're on Instagram and TikTok, both just at Rhea Health. And then if anybody's interested in trying out our service, getting started on their personalized birth control journey, you can get going at www.rheahealth.ca.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And thanks for listening, you guys. This is episode 125. And thank you for your patience. It takes me a while to record new episodes now, but I make sure that they're good. So I appreciate your loyalty. And as always, until next time, have yourself some butter.